Blog Talk Radio.
Afternoon at 1300 hours CST time, PM Central, and noon in the mountains. We'll take a topic. I'm David Dillis. This is Bam Rubenstein, the Cayman Hunter, coming to you from the Cayman Ranch. We're live every Wednesday at this time. Come and visit us. Come and call. Come and stop by. Say hello. The call-in number, if you're interested in saying hello, is 818-369-1429. Again, that's 818-369-1429. Today, just quickly go over some of the prelims that I like to do at the beginning of my show. I want to say hello to Shane, Shane Lewis out in Baton Rouge, my partner Shane. He's with Lewis Stone now, pavers, stone, stuff like that. Out in Baton Rouge, give a call to my partner Shane. His wife Krista, who's soon to be our veterinarian on call. She's now done with her classroom work, and she's on to her clinicals. Good luck. We love you, Krista. Also, my wife, Terry, who's, she been help. Okay. The call-in number, 818-369-1429. Our webpage is caymanhunter.com. If you want to become a friend of the show, get mentioned at the beginning of each of my shows, drop me a line, either at bam@caymanhunter.com, or on our message board, which you could find at the hyperlink for, if you go to caymanhunter.com and go to the bottom, I believe it's the right-hand side, could be the left, I think it's the right, on the index page. Friends of the show for right now are forgetmenotforkids.com, that's forgetmeknot, 4, KIDS, the number 4. .com, forgetmenotforkids.com. That is a child safety products website. Also, austincustomtallit.com, AustinCustomTallit.com, AustinCustomTallit. Handmade, individually made, custom tallit. Like, again, if you'd like to become a friend of the show, just jump us a line. On our website, caymanhunter.com, if you're interested in sales or rescues or any of our links, go to caymanhunter.com/forsale.html, rescues.html, or links.html. And if you want to be linked, if you have a reptile or crocodilian website and you want to be linked, again, drop me a line, bam@caymanhunter.com or on our message board. After our show, archived copies of this and all previous shows can be found at blogtalkradio.com/bam-the-caymanhunter. Those dashes would be actual dashes, not the word dash. So it's bam-the-caymanhunter. And also at caymanhunter.com/, that would actually be a slash, radioshow.html. Radio show in one word. All right, here we are today. Here we go. Not sure if you guys have heard some of this before, all of this before, a lot of it before, but we've been talking about adults, the differences between adults and juveniles, adults and hatchlings. And the adult caiman, and like I've said this before too, if, as long as you're doing the things that you should be doing to take care of your reptile, whatever the reptile that you have is, whatever care that you're supposed to be giving it, if you're giving it, you should be okay. But there are some serious considerations that to think about specifically for adults. If you're not abusing them, they'll be fine. But if you want to make sure that they're doing things correctly, or you're doing things correctly, they're going to get everything that they can get out of it, there are some considerations. Now, a lot of these you've heard me say before, in part, in other broadcasts, based on, well, based on the fact that most things that concern reptiles are going to overlap. Most things that concern care is going to overlap. Most things that concern caiman, adult, care, hatchling, whatever, is gonna, they're going to overlap. The things that you do for one, you're going to overlap over into other. Even if you're talking about, let's say, the pond, you're going to have to talk about the enclosure. If you're talking about the food, you're going to talk about the pond. If you're going to be talking about cleaning the filters, you're going to be talking about the enclosure. So things are going to overlap a little bit. So today we're going to talk about enclosures for adult caiman. Some of this is going to seem like you've heard it before. You may have. Some of it you'll definitely be hearing again. For sure. These things are all, like I said, overlapping things that you'll hear over and over again. And if you're going to hear it over and over again, like they say, first time you can let it go, second time, might want to consider it. So one of the considerations you have to give to its enclosure, once again, we're talking about the water should be three times the largest animal for the length. The width should be two times the length of the longest animal. And the depth of the water should be about 1.5 to 2 feet minimum. Okay, so here we go. If you've got a 4-foot caiman, the length of the pond should be at least 12 feet. The width of the pond should be at least 8 feet. That's for a 4-foot caiman. Three times its length for the length of the pond, two times its length for the width of the pond. Or versa versa. But you should have a 12 by 8 for 1 4-foot caiman. Okay. Now, then you want the land area on at least two sides of that pond, at least two sides of that pond, to be at least 4 feet. And that's so that the animal could get out of the water, pull itself completely out of the water, and be able to turn around comfortably. And why I say 2 feet, why I say two sides, is because one side will probably be used for, after a while, you'll find out where they want to do this, for basking. They'll come out of the water and they'll lay and they'll bask in some of the cooler weather so they can soak up some sun, even in some of the hotter weather so they can find some shade. So they'll come out and they'll try to, you know, like bask a little bit in the sun or just hang out underneath like whatever tree you have, whatever shade you have working on that side. Again, you will want to have some sort of a shade device, a tree, a bush, something. We have a couple of little bushes that we had used over the various areas so they could come up and do what they want at different areas. Again, we have a little bit of land on all four sides. It's not necessary. It works, but it's not necessary. At one time, we only had it on three sides. Now we have it on, well, right now we're rebuilding again, but we're working on putting it on all four sides. And the reason why you want the second side, the one side is you'll find out, you'll watch them, they'll come out and bask. You want the second side to be the area that you can put the food at if you're going to be feeding them. And you want it on a different side. You don't want it where they bask, because there'll be a time that they'll be basking. You'll come out to feed them. You'll scare them off, or they'll attack one or the other. But either way, they're not going to want to eat right away after that. Where the food is placed will be only for food. And after a while, they're going to know they're pretty smart. No matter what people say, these animals are pretty smart. And they'll see you coming in the same time with that white bucket every time, and they'll know that food's in that bucket, and as soon as you walk in and go to that area that they feed at, they'll put one and one together and come up with two every single time. So they'll start coming up to you, or your however many you have, one, two, three, whatever. They'll start coming up at you at that place where you're feeding them. Sides three and four, not necessary to have that much land, won't be used that much. You might want it, make it easier for you. You want to use the third side for your ability to get into the pond and deal with the filters, have somewhere to put the filters and the box and, you know, all the strainers and stuff on land that's not at their food area. Well, they'll want to grab it and drown it. And it's not in their basking area, so it's not going to interfere with them or cause them to not want to go up and bask. So the third side, it could work out for your benefit if you have enough room to put a third side in. And that, again, you want at least, you know, a couple of feet anyway. If you do, if you're making it beforehand, if you're not expanding your pond after you find an area that they like and an area that you could feed, go, gee whiz, I would really like to have a third side with some land on it, so we're going to expand our enclosure a little bit, then it doesn't matter. But if you're going to start off that way, you might want to also make that a four-foot side, or 4 foot on all four sides, the length of your longest animal. Remember, we're working with a 4 foot caiman on for now. So you take that land area, and that way you have the land area in case they decide that that's where they want to bask, and you'll use the other side for filters. Regardless, you can usually tell right away where they're basking the first couple times they get out of the pond. Thinking for a reason, thinking reasonably for this point, for now, that you're getting this animal as an adult. If you've had it for a while and it's growing and it's becoming an adult, you just got to make sure your pond is big enough and you already have the, you should already have these things. But if you're getting an animal as an adult, you see on my webpage that we just rescued 2 4-foot caiman. And we only have room for one of them because we already have 6 or 8 at the ranch already. So we need to find a home for one. You come along, you used to have them, you dealt with them, you worked in Costa Rica for 24 years, you want a caiman, fine. We can help you, you know, we can work that out. So you go back to the place, you go back to your place and you dig yourself an enclosure, dig yourself a pond and build an enclosure. You want to make sure that the water, again, you got this 4 foot caiman. Will it grow to 5 feet? Will it grow to 5.5 feet? Who knows? Is that all it is? Is it a female? Is it 4 feet and won't grow anymore? Or will it go to 4.5 or 5 even? Will it be a male and turn out to be a 6 footer, or maybe grow a little bit bigger, 6.5 foot? So you got to think about that. So when you dig in, you got yourself a 4 foot caiman. It might be growing a little bit bigger, so you want to take 6 feet as the biggest it should grow. Make yourself an 18 by 12 pond. And then you put 6 feet of land on at least 2 sides and about 3 feet on the third side. And if you're feeling up to it, you put a 3 feet of land on the fourth side, so you have somewhere to walk or run if you're being chased, or hide if you need to get out of the way of something. So when you're looking for an enclosure, when you start to build the enclosure, just don't think, well, I got a 12 by 18 area, that's good enough. I could just build my fences 12 by 18. It's not good enough. Add 6 feet on each side of that 18, and you got 30. And add 6 to both sides of that 12, and you got 24. So now your enclosure is 30 by 24. Your pond is only 12 by 18, but your enclosure is 30 by 24. So take that into consideration when you're building your enclosure for your pond. All right, briefly here, I'm going to stop and remind you that the call in number is 818-369-1429. 818-369-1429. Okay, next, the enclosure walls should be at least 6 feet high. We're talking about the length that the largest male caiman should get to is about 6 feet. And the reason you want the wall to be about 6 feet high is because these animals can lunge themselves the length of their body just from the strength in their tail. So you've got a six-foot animal, and he's on his four legs getting close to the wall. He puts his tail up underneath him, and he gives himself a little lunge, and he's just jumped 6 feet high. If the wall is 4 feet, he's over the wall. So you want to make sure your enclosure walls are at least 6 feet high. Now, you got a wall that's 4 feet high and a four-foot of fence on top of it, that'll probably work. They don't climb real well. But if they land on top of the concrete masonry wall, then they can lunge themselves again. Don't forget that. Now, if you live in an area that has a winter, you need to make arrangements for the animals because caiman will die if the temperature drops below about 50, 55 degrees for any length of time. 60, they're not going to like you too much. But if the temperature gets 50 or below, the animals will die. So if you live in a town that has a winter, or even if the winter is only 3 days long, like it is here in Texas, got to make arrangements for winter. Now, is your enclosure completely enclosed? If it is, then that's not a problem. You got yourself a 30 by 24 foot building, and you dug a hole in the ground 18 by 12, and you have all the land around the outside, water on the inside. The building is completely closed off. You put yourself a heater on one side, an air conditioner on the other side, and bada boom, you're done. Except, of course, for the water that you need to refill, food that you need to give them, filtering you need to do, and the draining of the water. Every once in a while, you want to redo that. But because you have that enclosure, it's all closed off and everything's good to go, you don't really have to worry about much more than just putting a heater on one side and an air conditioner on the other. If you live in a place that doesn't have a winter, Mexico, South Texas, South Florida, the Keys, don't have to worry too much about making sure that there's heat. They'll probably be able to figure out a way to, you know, stay warm. They do a pretty good job in South Florida right now. At least, you know, American alligators, American crocodiles do. And the caiman has the same bloodline. Okay. And don't forget that the water on the ambient air temperature in the enclosure, the water in the enclosure should always remain about 85 degrees Fahrenheit. 85 degrees Fahrenheit. So, if you got a heater in your water, in your pool, and it's 85 degrees, and you got a heater up in the air, and it's 85 degrees, and you have two nice-sized bushes, one over the land, or next to each other, one over the land and hanging out over the water a little bit as well, that stuff's pretty cool as far as, you know, places for them to, it'll be pretty cool. The sun not beating down on them, the heat not beating down on them, so that the animal can get in and cool off a little bit if he doesn't like it that warm. Sometimes they like it at 85. But every once in a while, you'll see them try to find something that's a little warmer, try to find something that's a little cooler. They have a couple of bushes in there. They could cool off a little bit in the bushes on the land. They could go in the water, the bushes overlapping the water, not letting the sun get down, a little bit cooler in the water. Or they could be in the water with their head out of the water, whatever they want to do. And if it's a floating bush, they're just going to move it around. You know, they'll push it where they want it. Same thing with rocks. A lot of times when we first put in a whole bunch of rocks and rock enclosures, rock tunnels, rock caves for them, and we'd go back in there a couple weeks later to change the filters, and we'd walk in and we'd see the rocks are moved wherever they want them. They just push them around. They do what they want. Just pushing around the rocks. They're strong animals. Call a number, once again, 818-369-1429. 818-369-1429. Now, if you do have a winter and you bring them indoors, or your enclosure is indoors, your enclosure is an enclosed indoor enclosure, where you don't have an open-air roof for the sun coming in, you got something closed off because you got the heater on one side, the air conditioner on the other side, you got your walls all the way up 8 feet, you dug a hole in the middle of your garage, and you broke through to the ground below, and now you have a nice little pond working in your garage. Don't forget that you need UVA and UVB light, and you're going to need to give them that constantly whenever the sun should be shining. So from, wherever you are, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, till 6:37 at night, 8 o'clock at night, whatever it is, wherever you are, you're going to need to give them UVA and UVB light. And even when those lights are off, make sure they got heat. Make sure it's warm enough. Make sure it stays about 82 degrees even at night. 80 degrees at night is fine. And getting back, the same thing, talking about again, there should always be, we said this earlier, there should be a slight difference in temperature from one side of the water to the other, from one side of the land to the opposite pond, end of the pond's land area. There should be some slight difference in temperature. The animal would like to find a place that's comfortable for him or her, and an easy way to ensure that is to just simply put a couple of bushes at one end of the enclosure, and if you have big enough, wide enough bushes that they overhang a good area of water. This is important for their all-season enclosure as well as their winter or any temporary enclosures that you put them in. So if you have them outside all year long, you should have a couple of bushes in the corner, one of the corners, or at least one of the sides. The bushes that'll be giving them a place where they could hang out on land and get underneath the shade if they want to cool off. But also if they're in the water, they come and find shady area in the water that's a little bit cooler. Even though you keep it at 85, which is the perfect temperature for them, sometimes, again, they like to get a little bit cooled off. And by going by underneath a bush or something like that, they'll be able to cool off. As they cool off, as far as the cooling off in their regular enclosure goes, that works the same as their temporary enclosure. That works the same as in a winter enclosure. If you do take them out, even if you have a permanent or whatever, if you do take them out to bring them indoors for whatever reason, the winter, or you have a separate winter enclosure for them because it's too cold outside, you have an indoors enclosure, whatever you got, that winter enclosure also needs to have a shady area. Keep it 85 degrees most of the way through and around it, but somewhere you need to have something that's going to give them a cooling, a shady area, a shade patch in the water and on the land. And if you have any temporary kind of enclosure, you're going to be bringing them to the zoo to show off, or you got a show to do across town, and they're going to be, out of their regular enclosure for a couple of days. You want to make sure you always have the UVA, UVB light going on during the day. You want to make sure that it's 85 degrees most of the time. And you want to make sure that there is a little bit of a variance in temperature at some portion of whatever it is the temporary enclosure is, so that they can regulate their body heat the way they want to, cooling off, warming up, whatever. If they stay in the heated part for a very long period of time, they can warm themselves up. If it gets too hot for them, you'll see them opening up their mouths. That's a way for them to cool. If they're just on land and they're laying there with their mouth wide open, it usually means that they're hot and they're trying to release some of the heat. That's what an open mouth means. They're not waiting for food to walk in. If they're in the water and they do that, that's a different story. If you see them at the bottom of the pond, if you look in the pond and you see your caiman in the bottom of the pond and he's got his mouth open, he thinks the fish is going to come along and he's going to snap his jaws and catch a fish. But if he's got his mouth open and he's on the land, usually it's just a way for them to be able to regulate their body heat by releasing some of that heat by, so that they can cool off. Now, if you have a bush or something that a couple of them, if you only have one, then this is great. You have yourself a nice little bush in a corner, you know, back in one corner, and you also have two right there in the water on the edge there, like a little mangrove going on. They'll be able to get in the water and hang out underneath if they want to. We had one that used to like to use the roots as a way to camouflage himself. He used to just hang out by the roots until something came by and snap at it, whether it was a person walking by or if it was us dropping food into the water or even sometime once when one of the filters floated by, snapped right at the filter too, out of nowhere. We couldn't even see him, just hiding behind the roots of the tree, and he just jumped up and snapped and grabbed one of the filters. Yeah, it was a little bit tough getting it back. Philly guy, what do we got? We got, call a number, 818-369-1429. Every Wednesday, we try to do something a little bit different, a little bit more, give you some insight into caiman crocodilus, the spectacle caiman. Most of the information is good for almost any crocodilian species and a lot of other types of reptiles as well. The water, not so much, but ambient temperatures, you know, breeding, egg laying, things like that, most of that stuff. Most of that stuff, most of that stuff is all the same, regardless of the reptile. Again, except for the water. Maybe even food. Well, even food's probably the same on a lot of them. You know, they'll all eat rabbit. They're all carnivores. Okay, we'll do it that way. They're all carnivores. Anyway, talked about the enclosure, the size. Winter, what to do, UVA, UVB bulbs. Oh, and don't forget when you're feeding them. Feed them probably once a week is good enough in the summer. Maybe once every 2 weeks is good enough in the winter. About a pound of meat per animal. Bite-sized pieces could be about as big as the animal's head. If you're giving it a lot of meat with no bones, you're chopping the meat yourself, then you want to add some Reptical or something like that, some calcium, some reptile calcium, powdered calcium. Put it in a plastic bag, put the meat in the plastic bag, do a little shake and bake with it. All right, looks like we're about 90 seconds to go. Looks like anybody's calling in today. I'll give you the call-in number if you want to call in. Write the number down for next week, 818-369-1429. That is the call-in number. We do this show every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I think a couple of weeks ago, you might not have heard us real good. We had a lot of, we had computer. It was a computer issue. It was a technical difficulty. And with the technical difficulties, we couldn't stay on the air. So about 2 weeks ago, we might have had a little problem. If you didn't hear us, we're terribly sorry about that. But we do show up every Wednesday at 1300 CST, this is Live with the Caiman Hunter. My name is Bam Rubenstein. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining me. If you like to throw a couple of questions my way, find something out, talk to me, ask me something, but you don't want to be on air, or you do want it to be on the air, write me an email, bam@caimanhunter.com. or on our message board at kmanhunter.com down at the page. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining me today, and happy herping.